Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 29. I'm Jason Webster, here with your other hosts, Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
Jake?
The draft has subsided.
It has.
Yes.
It has. I thought I felt a draft.
Oh, my God.
Where's the... You got the little button, remember?
The little button.
The one that does the...
Let me just try a random one and hope it's bad. Oh, I have the volume down. Hold on.
Do you remember that?
Let me try that again.
There it is. That's what it's supposed to be. Anytime someone tells a bad joke,
yeah,
wow, that's going to be a lot.
That's great.
Do you know why I don't do that? Because if I turn the volume up on this, it records these.
Like, oh, really?
Just to make sure that it happens. You know what I mean?
Oh. Like, it actually puts them in there.
Yeah. So it just takes up extra data to record it. But
yeah. No shit. That's funny. No. So, yeah, that was a pretty good draft.
It was all right, man. It was a very casual thing.
Any surprises on your end, Jeff, that you were surprised about?
The only surprise would be that they didn't move up other than the two spots for Elam and then later on for Khalil Shakir, right?
Yep.
We had talked about a few favorites that we had. We kind of guys that we hoped they would get.
Yep.
They did get Ariza, the punter, punt god. Which was fantastic.
You're
I love that part.
To him and not hitting that.
Oh.
You got to move the mic over or move your chair or something.
Better?
I don't know.
Try. I don't know either.
Sounds good.
Maybe a little better?
Yeah definitely.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. So, Matt Ariza, the
punt god.
Punt god.
Yep.
That's awesome. Troy Anderson, they missed on. I was really hoping for that one because, again, I'm just excited to see what the guy can do. But other than that, it was like a comfort food dinner. It was just really comfortable.
Yeah.
It was no stress.
Brandon Bean type of draft.
Yeah. You know? One of your favorite movies that you watch several times. It was just good. It was just good.
It was.
You know,
it was really good. And I liked the fact, well, see, the thing with the draft is, so you're going like pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it was like, all right, no trades. Got to pick 10 to the Jets. Garrett Wilson goes to the Jets. Still no trades. And I'm like, all right. And then all of a sudden, the Saints are the first ones to trade up to get Olave at 12.
Yep.
Because I thought someone was going to, if anybody was going to trade, I thought the Falcons were going to trade out of 11. They didn't. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is just going to go. Maybe we'll get a few trades here and there, but nothing crazy. All of a sudden, after 12, the floodgates opened and the trades just started just going.
It was crazy, and the wide receivers were like flying off the board.
It's gone.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of conversations about that's going to be a new trend because the wide receiver market now is so expensive. Easier to just get a young guy, especially somebody who's a good prospect.
Yeah,
you get 4 or 5 years of fairly inexpensive labor as opposed to a $20 or $25 million contract. So makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean the way the draft fell. In my opinion, just going from 1 to 10 to start with, I felt like it went kind of how it should have went.
Right.
There wasn't really any weird surprises or the biggest weird thing to me, obviously, was the Aiden Hutchinson not going number one.
Right.
That's to me, that was awesome. He got to go to Detroit in his hometown, but it was
Singletary
just
going off the board before Sauce Gardner was kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you
know what I mean?
Yeah,
I thought it was.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you mean Stinley.
Or Stinley.
Stinley. Yeah, I'm sorry, he jumped the boards,
Yeah.
He apparently his pro day really, really jumped him up. So, I was big on Sauce Gardner, especially with what he brought to the table, his athleticism, what he did for Cincinnati playing in a not so great conference and then coming up and playing big against some big teams in the SEC and stuff like that. But to be honest with you, I didn't really know a lot about his demeanor or what he was like.
Character.
It really turned me off, to be honest with you, when he's standing up there with these big old Blaine and gold chain. And, not the kid didn't sound the most smart out there.
Right.
When they're asking him about, hey, what's with the sauce bottle? And he's like, it's for extra sauce and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I don't know. Like
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It just didn't seem like he would have been a fit for the Bills in that retrospect anyway.
Correct.
When you get Kyir Elam,
the opposite.
The kid in his interview, I think you mentioned it to me too, and I saw it. they're asking him, hey, you got any more questions for us? And he's like, yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah, and he's Brandon like, Bean's like, normally nobody, they just go, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. And then he's asking, hey, what do you think, does Trey White, you know, how do you think he would think about my game? And, you know,
right.
just start asking questions. Then he hands him over the his Gator playbook notes and stuff like that.
Where he can improve, right?
Every game, the cool thing that I really liked about Elam is he actually took notes after every game and he wrote down exactly what he did wrong, where his weakness was in that game, and where he can improve. And that's huge. Yep. And he was showing that to the Bills staff, to Brandon Bean, to McDermott, and explaining to him, hey, this is where I can improve. This is every game. This is I wrote notes down. I kept track
right.
of how to improve. And I mean, that's the type of guy that you like. And Brandon Bean was basically saying, hey, this kid, he prepares like a pro already.
He's young.
Yeah, he's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's going to be 21 in a couple of days.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, that's maturity, right? Like, I mean, that's what you're hoping to get in a guy like that.
So we talked about that on one of our other podcasts between, you know, opportunity and planning and you know, where it falls into place. I think they planned for him pretty hard. I think how excited Bean was about him.
It seemed like it, for sure.
Well, you mentioned that he was the last guy. And they had a first round grade.
Yeah.
Right? There was
that's what they had.
So it was either move back almost like out of the first round or move up a couple of spots, whatever it takes to get there and get the guy that you really, really want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they did.
Great move.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're on time right now to call up our guest. We got another special guest on today to talk pre-draft, get his thoughts. So we're going to get on the line with a guy that a bunch of people should know out there, Z-Bot, Zach Bell from Buffalo Fanatics. So let's get him on the line.
And while we're waiting, we'll go ahead and go to a very early commercial break.
All right. Awesome. Sounds good. Dude, I really like, real quick, I was just going to mention before we get into it, your thing with the Buffalo Wild Wings Dorito thing. That's freaking...
Oh, my God.
That's so cool, dude.
Thanks, man. I saw a commercial for him during the draft, and I just said to myself, that's just right up my alley right there. There's no way I'm not trying those. Your mom and pop shop isn't covering the wings and Doritos. So
Yeah. No doubt. That's cool. How did you like them?
I got to tell you, man, they were great.
Really?
Like I said in the video, I don't know how you could mess it up. Chicken wings covered in Doritos. Yeah. That just sounds like a home run.
Dude, especially they were the Flaming Hot Doritos, too?
Oh, yeah.
They wow.
sense, you know what I mean? And they had them in like a hot sauce, too. But the crazy thing I thought is when I picked them up and I looked in the bag and they had thrown in like a bag of Doritos with the Doritos wings to put more on top of it.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Jeez.
I'm already thinking about the basket.
I'm around here.
Yeah, yeah, holy cow. That's got to be a rough time in the potty later.
Listen, I luckily had some self-restraint and only ate a couple. So I can't lie.
Wow. Yeah, that's the pro move.
Yeah, I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah.
I know by now.
We are very excited to tell you about our new partnership with a great company right here in Springville, New York, Dilly Dally's Spices and Sauces. Owner-operator Dylan Wheeler started Dilly Dally's to find the most epic spice blends this world has to offer. And from that quest, he has collected a massive variety of gourmet and specialty products. We're talking 274 hot sauces, 147 barbecue sauces, and 125 barbecue rubs. They have spices, seasonings, drink mixes, even locally made cheeses from Cuba Cheese Shop and Yancey's Fancy. It doesn't matter whether you're a spice fiend looking for a new flavor for your hot wings or you just want to try a new Bloody Mary mix, you'll find it at Dilly Dally's. Trust us, you won't find a better variety anywhere else in Western New York. You can find Dilly Dally's at 53 East Main Street in Springville. Just look for the logo of the cool hot pepper with sunglasses on it. Tell Dylan that Ending the Drought podcast sent you and he will give you 10% off your order. He also has online ordering that ships products all over the state. His website is dillyspices.com. That's D-I-L-L-Y spices.com. All right, and we're back.
All right, guys, we want to welcome our guest, Zach Bell, also known as Z-Bot. He is the host of his own podcast on Buffalo Fanatics. Zach, welcome to our podcast, Ending the Drought, man.
Fellas, thank you so much for having me. Awesome weekend. I can't get enough of talking Bills this week, so real stoked to be on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So we'll dig right into it and start off with round one of the draft with the Bills, moving up a couple spots to grab Zaire Elam. What's your thoughts, man? What do you think about this pick?
So going into the draft, I had just felt the only true hole on this entire roster was cornerback two. And the second that Bean decided to move off of Levi Wallace, and I understand Levi Wallace wasn't an all-pro corner. I get that. But Pittsburgh paid him $4 million, and they let him go for next to nothing. And right there, it made me question, okay, well, what's the move here? Tre'Davious White's hurt. The depth in that position's pretty weak to begin with. And then as the offseason went on, it just felt like every single position of need was addressed but corner. So right there, that was my indicator that they're definitely targeting a corner in round one. But as I'm sure you guys know, as the days got closer to the draft, the running back talk really heated up. You had some real credible names throwing out running back to the Bills at 25, in particular Breece Hall. And my thought on that entire situation was, you know, running back in the first round, a gigantic roll of the dice, but the Bills are late in the round. They've yet to really try their hand at a top running back, but it just felt like it was a bit of a luxury pick compared to the corner decision. And ultimately, that's why I was excited that Bean decided to go with Kiara Lamb, just because it was the only position I felt that really needed a solidified starter on day one. And Bean made sure they got the best available guy at that time. And he even went ahead and traded up a couple spots to do it. And I think that that indicates to us that Kiara Lamb was definitely the guy. They didn't even want to risk having to wait till 25. They tossed away the fourth rounder just to ensure they got their guy.
Yeah, and they talked about other guys, right, that would be available after that pick or around that pick. We talked about different cornerbacks who would still be available that were solid. Yeah. But that's the second year in a row that running back kind of took over the last week or two before the draft.
I know.
Last year, Travis Etienne was like all over the place, and Breece Hall is the name I heard, you know, for the last couple of weeks. It seems like that position is not something they're ever going to really want to spend for or give up a lot of draft capital for. It feels that way. They don't value that position.
I felt last year if Najee Harris or Travis Etienne had fallen to the Bills, they were going to go with one of those two guys. I think Jacksonville really made a surprise splash there going with Etienne. It felt like they wanted to, and they were both gone, and obviously the Bills chose a different direction. This year, you could tell they were definitely all in on getting a running back at some point. There was talks about McCaffrey. Panthers didn't deal him. And then the whole McKissick situation, which was a disaster.
Yep.
So I knew going into this, it was inevitable they were going to go running back. Round one was the question. And then I felt, well, round one's a reach, but you've already tried your hand now twice at the running back position in round three, and clearly it hasn't turned out into exactly what you wanted. So maybe round two is the middle ground we're looking for. But the way I look at it, guys, we just need a marginal increase in the run game in order for this offense to take it to another level. People were talking about getting a true solidified running back one in there, or a bell cow, as everybody refers to it. I don't think that's necessary. I think all the Bills need is a respectable enough run game to where you have to do just that, respect it. And I think that opens up a world of opportunity for Josh Allen in a variety of different ways. Plus, he doesn't have to run the ball as much, and that's music to our ears. The more he runs, and we know he takes the hit every time, I think if you can take that away from him just a bit, it'll ultimately help out down the line.
Yeah, and Ziba, I saw that Rico was extremely pissed that we didn't take Breece Hall, and obviously the Jets got him. So,
yeah,
him going to the Jets, I think definitely kind of like Rico said, it's just going to be, or maybe you said, it's just going to be a nuisance, you know?
So the thing for me, prior to the draft here, Rico and I, we had been doing 2-3 shows a week, and all he would talk about is Breece Hall. So before I knew it, subconsciously, I just wanted the guy. I don't even think I asked myself why. It was just because I was talking about it with Rico so much.
Yeah.
And I was live with him when it happened. He was distraught because he was in love with the guy. The reason I was pissed It's because it was the damn Jets, fellas. Yeah, I just didn't think that was going to happen. Plus, on day two, I just wanted something to root for. I wanted to root for him falling, but the Jets wasted no time. They traded up. They got him. And, yeah, like you said, and I know Rico alluded to it too, to go from not only wanting the guy, having people say he could be a Bill, to then having to face him twice a year, it definitely pissed us off for sure. Yeah. But at the end of the day, man, the Jets going to jet, so we'll see how it turns out. But I'll hold my breath on that until I see it.
Big time. And the thing I keep saying to myself and to, you know, my buddies and, you know, these guys, Jeff and Jason, is like, yes, the Jets definitely added talent in this draft. They did. But we also, as the Buffalo Bills, have an extreme amount of talent in our team. So, and the Jets, I mean, it all comes down to Zach Wilson, right? If this guy can drive the car, then okay, then maybe we have, you know, the Jets as that team in the division that we have to go against, you know, twice a year to kind of worry about. But until Zach Wilson really does anything, I mean, do we really have to be worried about the Jets right now?
I think right now the Bills in their position they're in, I mean, think about it. The AFC, I don't know if we'll ever see a conference as loaded as it is right now. And the Bills are in by far the worst division.
Yeah.
And that's an insane thing to think about, knowing what we've dealt with within that division for the 20 years prior to Josh Allen coming around, or even more so until Brady decided to go to the NFC. But when you look at the situation in the AFC right now, there's at least 10 playoff teams you could rattle off the top of your head. And when I think about the Bills, I don't worry about anybody. I don't worry about the Jets. I don't worry about Miami. Even though Miami got a lot better, it all comes down to what we were just talking about with Zach Wilson. Can Tua drive the car? I'm not even close to convinced, so I'm not worried about them. And then the Patriots, boys, I'm expecting a major struggle for New England this year. They had a brutal offseason. I just don't understand how anybody could argue that they have a decent year this year.
Yeah. And how do you go Cole Strange as the 29th pick in this draft, dude?
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, even if he was a guy you had circled, there was nobody that was going to take him before you.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah. And it's just like everybody's like, well, and the thing I hate, Z-Bot, is everybody's like, well, it's Bill Belichick. You know,
I know.
He can pick these guys out of a hat, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, come on, man.
I posted something the other day, and one of the Pats fans came back, and he was like, yeah, let's not trust the intuition of the 7-time Super Bowl champion. And I go, yeah, that's awesome. Have you reminded yourself recently that Tom Brady's no longer the quarterback? I just don't think that they can wrap their head around it. I don't think they get that it's a completely different franchise now.
Yeah, that's what it is, too. It's like it's because Bill Belichick is there. It's like, well, you know, I think remember Sam Acho? He was on ESPN or no, I'm sorry. He was on WGR talking, I think, on the morning show or with Tasker and Brownie. But he was talking about the Patriots still being that team in the division to give us fits because they still have Bill Belichick. And it's like, come on, dude. I
suffered from this a bit too. I think you know what really helped, and obviously winning heals all, but the win against the Patriots last year in the wild card wasn't just a win. That was as much of a statement as I've ever seen a team make in any sport ever. And that there finally put the Patriots in the rear view. But I'll be honest, up until then, especially with the win bowl game where it was just like, there's no way we're losing this game, I felt the same way too, because you can't shake the fact that the Patriots were dominant over us for so long. It's so hard to get that out of your mind, but I'm coming around to it finally. And I don't know how everybody else can either. When you look at the team and then compare that to everything else in the conference, it's just night and day. It doesn't match up.
Yeah. I agree, man. It's tough to think that the Patriots are still going to be the same old Patriots in this division. I mean, I was at that playoff game, and let me tell you, dude, it was a party, you know?
I was there, too. That was probably one of the greatest nights of my life. I will never forget that.
Yeah.
The best part about it is there every single person in there, all 70,000 people in there, were all in the same state of shock as the person next to them. Nobody knew what to do with themselves.
Yeah.
Like, after the 7th touchdown, people looked around like, do we still celebrate? Like, what do we do here? What do we do?
Yeah. No, it's yeah, that was insane, man.
I mean, well, oh, go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was just going to say the other thing too is, you know, people are saying, well, you're hearing a lot of talk about the Jets now and stuff like that, but to me, the better they do and the better Miami does, it's not the threat to us. It's the nuisance to each other and to New England. The more that they can dilute each other's guaranteed wins, the better.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point if you think about it, because I look at the AFC East right now, and if Vegas had the win at the win-loss total, or the loss total rather, at 1.5, I'm taking the under. I don't see the Bills losing two games in that division, but that's a great point. I never even thought about that. Similar to the AFC West, where they're eating each other alive because they're so good.
Yeah.
The three other teams in the East could eat each other alive because they're so mediocre.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And at least, like, the Jets got Breece Hall now, and Miami made a couple of moves to get a couple of decent running backs. They got, what, Mostert and Carson, I think, from Seattle. You know, I think they're playing to their quarterback strength, which is hand the ball up, right? Yeah. In New England, they're basically looks like they're playing with the same team they had last year. With
a worse roster. I mean, the roster's J.C. Jackson's gone
on defense.
Yeah, J.C. Jackson's gone. Dante Hightower's gone. I mean, they lost some key pieces, and they didn't do much to replace anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
And that's where I come to this conclusion, because the Jets won the draft. I got to give credit where credit's due. They crushed it. And then Miami, they had a killer offseason, and they're forming their offense into one that has some real star power on it. I'm just, you know, super skeptical of Tua. But at least they're trying to build the pieces there in order to get to where they want to be. Right. I can't say the same for New England right now. Give me one example as to how you could argue that. Like you said, they're worse than last year, if anything.
Yeah, they could be the fourth team in the division.
Yeah.
Possibly. That's what I'm starting to think, too. Yeah. I really am.
So, Zbot, let's go to round two, pick 63. The Bills picking up James Cook at running back. What's your thoughts on that move?
Well, obviously, in the beginning of round two, once Breece Hall went and then the Michigan State running back went to Seattle, I was starting to think if running back was just going to be off the table altogether. I thought maybe wide receiver might be a play there. And to be honest with you, I really think if the Chiefs didn't move up to take Sky Moore, in my heart of hearts, the Bills take Sky Moore there.
Yeah, he is one of my favorites, actually. Definitely.
Yeah, there was a hell of a lot of talent at the wide receiver position in round two, and I think that's why the Chiefs did move up. They jumped the Bills a couple spots to get him. And I think at that point, you look at your situation on an offense that has very few issues. The one, I think if you went up to any Bills fan who watches the games and you said, what on this offense would you improve if you had the choice? I think everybody's answer would be running back or the run game in general.
Yep.
And I think that when the chips fell towards the end of the second round, James Cook was there. Look, he had a great career in Georgia, and I think he's a hell of a back. And like I mentioned earlier in the show here, I just think that Bean and the front office of Buffalo are looking for a guy to just bring it up one or two more notches. They're not looking for Derrick Henry, Kamara. That's just not the way that this offense is built to run. They're looking for a guy that can take them one or two notches higher, especially in the pass game, the screen game. We don't see a lot of that currently. I think James Cook fits that mold. A lot of people are talking about his presence in the pass game. We know that Bean was trying to target that because that was McKissick's strength. And I think that they get a good asset in James Cook in that department. I also think, you know, a lot of people write off Devin Singletary too. They kind of make him out to be somebody that's towards the bottom end of the league. He's not. He's just not elite. And I think a lot of times you want to categorize somebody as either elite or terrible. Devin Singletary is a very serviceable back, but he was forced to be relied upon too much when it came to the running game. Zach Moss just isn't what we expected him to be or wanted him to be. But if James Cook can come in and be a great rotational guy with Singletary, I think that immediately improves the run game overall. I really like the pick. I'm super thrilled with it. And like we talked about earlier too, this is the highest they've gone in the draft to get a running back. It's the most they've put into it. So I have to think if they were willing to do that, what we know from Brandon Bean now, he doesn't mess around. As we saw over the weekend, he traded back plenty of times when he felt that, you know, the pick that he had wasn't going to get him value. I think when they went James Cook, they told you, we think this guy is more than worthy of a round two pick, and we think that this guy is more than worthy of being able to help this team out immediately when the season starts.
Yeah, and they kind of showed their hand with that whole J.D. McKissic debacle, right? It was pretty obvious, and I got a feeling it probably has something to do with Jordan Palmer as offensive coordinator, probably looking for more of that in his play calling duties.
Sure.
You mean Ken Dorsey?
Or Ken Dorsey, I'm sorry. Yeah, screw those guys up.
Well, I'm interested there, too, because what changes with Ken Dorsey, too? That makes you wonder, with these new pieces, extending Isaiah McKenzie, who I felt was unbelievably underutilized for what he brings to this offense. That's a good point you bring up. Ken Dorsey interests me because this is the first time we've seen a Josh Allen offense without Dable. What's that going to look like? And you add James Cook. It could be exciting. I mean, that's what's got me pumped. The possibilities are what really have me excited.
Right. I agree. Do you think that Zach Moss is going to be like the odd man out here now? I mean, they're not going to keep four running backs on this roster, right?
No, definitely not. And I mean, I think when you get down to it, like I said, if I had to put money on it, I would say that come week one, Singletary gets the start. But I think that James Cook will definitely be the main rotational guy with Singletary, and I think he could easily earn a starting spot at some point just this upcoming season here. When Zach Moss is being brought into the situation here, I think the writing was on the wall last year. They barely trusted him last year to begin with without a guy like James Cook. What they do with Zach Moss, I'm not sure. But like you said, you have to think if James Cook pans out into the guy that you chose him to be with a second-round pick, that doesn't spell very well for Zach Moss and the future that he has at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yep. All right, Z-Bot. So we're going to the third round now, 89th overall pick. Terrell Bernard, linebacker.
Yeah.
How do you like that move?
So this was definitely the most questionable pick of the weekend, I think. It just felt like everybody amongst the fan base kind of let out a collective, what is this type reaction, right?
Yeah.
At first glance, and listen, linebacker wasn't something that I had circled going into this draft. And I had saw some mock drafts, Peter Schrager in particular, a few weeks ago, who had a linebacker going to the Bills round one. And I immediately said to myself, there's no way in hell. Mm-hmm. There's just no way.
Yeah.
They have, I mean, if you haven't decided what you want to do with Edmonds yet, but you did go the fifth-year option on him. And then, of course, you just extended Milano. A linebacker in round one didn't make sense. But here's where it makes sense to me in round three, the more I've thought about it. Milano, as good as he is, unfortunately can never stay on the field. That's a real unfortunate factor when it comes to Matt Milano. And then with Tremaine Edmonds, the future's uncertain there. You do go the fifth-year option, but I don't know if the front office even knows right now what they intend to do after this coming season. Bernard was picked as a project player. He's got a lot of great traits. He's known to be an unbelievably good blitzer,
yep.
But right now he is definitely a work in progress, which we know Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott love. They love guys who have raw talent that can be molded. Bernard himself had injury issues at Baylor, which I know to me is a concern. But the upside there, I think, is why Bean went in that direction. He just seems to be one of those guys that if he does wind up panning out, if he winds up being able to be coached in this system into the guy you want him to be, there's a lot of potential there. And when you look at Edmonds' situation, when you look at Milano and his inability to stay healthy, the more you think about it, the more it does make sense. But I did understand at first why there was some question marks surrounding it, just based on where they took him, the position, and kind of the overall knowledge that he's coming into this team as a project player.
Yeah, and I've seen some things, too, where his profile almost fits the profile of a safety.
Like, I know, he's has a very speed. Thin linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, he's a small linebacker. But if you look at him in terms of a potential, you know, maybe a streamlined safety, like you said, 7.5 sacks in his senior year, you know?
Yeah.
They were hyping up his football IQ, his overall intuition. So that tells me right there, maybe not safety. Who the hell knows? Honestly, you never know.
But hybrid.
I could definitely see them working him in and out of rotation around the field, just kind of seeing where he fits in maybe this season, you know, I doubt he gets a ton of time, but you'll definitely see him being rotated in as they try to get a vibe what he can bring to the table. But you're right. I don't think they drafted him to just be linebacker and linebacker alone. They're probably looking to have him be as versatile as they can possibly have him be. And who knows what that winds up turning out.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that's got the speed. He could play special teams.
He's very fast. I know. Yeah. He ran a 4.440. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a tackling machine. I don't know, Z-Bot, if you got to watch the Sugar Bowl game, but he was the MVP of that game. 20 tackles, 2 sacks. I mean,
crazy. I know he's third overall in sacks, Baylor history, and then I know he had 100-plus tackles 2 of the last 3 years. So I looked at his accolades. I looked at his attributes, and overall – yeah, I do understand the project element here. But what I also like about the pick, when I kind of look at it after the fact, the first 2 round picks were picks that are immediately going to affect this team. Yep. Bean showed us in the offseason, the chips are all in on the middle of the table when it comes to going after the Super Bowl in this window, right?
Right.
But what I like about the round 3 pick, he's also addressing the future. Mm-hmm. The first 2 rounds take care of right now. But Bernard could be a guy you look at a couple of years down the line, and we could be really thankful that Bean decided to go with him in this current draft.
Yeah, he doesn't have the flexibility of the guy that I really like, Troy Anderson. But yeah. He's definitely versatile, you know.
So, well, there were some linebackers who continued to fall. I was shocked Dean fell as far as
yeah.
he did.
Yeah.
He was projected to go mid-teens. He was the number 1 ranked linebacker. There were several linebackers who got taken above him. So this draft in general, fellas, was nuts. There just was weird. No certainty anywhere, you know?
Yep. Oh, big time. Big time, man. Round 5, Z-Bot, pick 148. Oh. You go into wide receiver Khalil Shakir. I personally really like that pick. How about you?
All I've seen since the pick is in more ways than one, you know, different ways to say it, but almost everything I've read is potential steal of the draft in Khalil Shakir.
Yep.
I was really hoping the Bills would go wide receiver. I even had a thought in the back of my mind that they would consider going wide receiver in round 1, but we saw those top 6 wide receivers, they evaporated in the first round.
Oh, God.
They were gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, you know, you saw it move back and back throughout the draft. And then the top guys in round 2 were pretty much gone by the time they picked 2. But I looked at Khalil Shakir. I've read up on him. And I mean, right down to Mel Kiper. And when I think about this draft in its entirety, I think he summarized it as good as I've seen. And he essentially said, if Bernard and Shakir are hits, we could wind up looking back at this draft 5 years from now and say the Bills ultimately had the best class. And that really made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Because your top 2 picks are immediate, you know, starters or potential starters, but your later round picks are guys that everybody seems to be really high on. And if they pan out, it sky's the limit.
Yeah. That's where it counts, right? Like, I mean, everybody can pick the first round or at least reasonably well. I won't talk about New England, but yeah. I actually seen 2 things today. Number 1 is I read something that Shakir was actually the highest graded receiver in the draft from Pro Football Focus. And really? Number 2, I seen him mocked at 89 to the Bills, believe it or not.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he had like an 85 Pro Football Focus grade. And it happened to be one of the highest of the wide receivers, possibly. They actually said it was the highest grade Pro Football Focus had. But
well, the benefit for him too, which I love, ultimately, the success of these guys is like 90% predicated on the team that they're drafted to. And he's coming into not only one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but one of the best wide receiver rooms too. And, you know, maybe the effect on the field isn't noticed early on, but I think that could go a long way just being surrounded by guys like Diggs and Crowder and an upcoming Gabriel Davis. If he really is what everybody continues to say about him, and then you add that element to it, I really love the pick in round 5.
Yeah, and he's got speed, right? Well, I can't remember what Sean McDermott said about speed. You can't – something like you can't beat speed, right? Like,
you can't. You can't teach it. That's
for sure.
That's cool. You can't teach it. You can't coach it. And as we know now, the speed element, I mean, look no further than the divisional game last year. We lost that game because of speed.
Right,
you know, Tyreek Hill. Like, yeah. Nobody can catch him.
100%. So,
everybody's looking for that guy at that position right now. You know, everybody's looking for that burner because that you can't defend it. There's nothing
right.
you can do.
No, not at all. Hey, we'll the last one we'll talk about. I want to bring it up. Obviously, is Punt God, man. I mean, how many teams, especially a roster stacked like we have, and we're all like, oh my god.
They had less punts, I think, we got than anybody God. In like, the NFL yeah, last year.
Right.
It just kills me that they got this dude.
Well, for me, it kind of started out as a joke because how could you not just love saying the words punt God? I can't stop
for
that.
Sure.
So going into the draft, I was joking. I made some videos where I'm like, you know, Bean might need to trade up in the first round to get this done, yada, yada. But, you know, in the back of my mind, we all knew Matt Hawk was not going to be the starting punter this year. And if he was, that was not a good sign. So going into the draft, I really did feel like there was a good potential for the Bills to take Punt God. And, oh, my God, fellas, when I heard his name.
Wasn't that awesome?
I lost it. I freaked out. I was so freaking stoked.
Same thing. Oh, my God.
But to your point, and, like all jokes aside, and I know it's tough for me to do when it comes to this particular topic, because, like I said, it's just you can have so much fun with the name Punt God. But when you really think about it, Tyler Bass is one of the best kickers in the league. This offense is one of the best kickers in the league. Last year, this defense was number one overall. If Punt God is coming in, launching 80-yard punts, we're talking about a top-level unit in every single facet of the game here. And that's what's got me so excited about.
That is huge. And how great would it be to see Punt God just boom one down the field and then run down and just lay somebody out?
Oh my God. Imagine. Well, have you seen him? He's cut. He's huge.
I know. He literally said that's his favorite part of the game. And I seen an interview with some woman was interviewing the dude. And the two things he wanted to do, he wants to make the Pro Bowl within his first 2 years. Yep. And he wants to make tackles, man. He said it's his favorite thing to do. He loves hitting people. Like,
I don't blame
him. This guy.
I took one look at that guy from the combine and he had the skin tight tank top on, and that was the first time I noticed. I go, dude, this guy's arms are piped.
He's ripped.
And he's a punter.
Yeah. The cool thing that it reminded me of his combine workout, it reminded me a little bit of Josh. And the, what I mean is they were sitting there talking. They're like, listen to the sound of the ball coming off his foot. You know, and it's like when Josh was throwing at the combine, if you remember, they're like, wow, listen to that thing whiz through the air. You know, it's like. It's pretty cool to get a player like that though, you know.
Last year,
on top of what I think he can bring to the field, I think that just this fan base is gonna. I already am personally, but this fan base is gonna have a field.
Oh, they're
day
gonna love
him,
it. And yeah, there's no doubt.
I know. I said a couple of days ago. I said you will never see more punter jerseys in a stadium. You'll see at One Bills Drive.
Seriously.
Holy cow.
Yeah, the guy will never buy a drink or dinner in the freaking city. It'll never happen. Yeah.
No way.
No one's going to remember.
Punt God walks in, everybody stops what they're doing. No question.
Yeah, no one's going to remember his name. They're just going to know him as Punt God.
I think it took me like 2 full weeks after I found out who he was to realize what his name was. I swear.
That's great. Well, Z-Bot, we really appreciate it, man. That was a really good take on and all the players that we picked, man.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure having you on. And we definitely got to do it again. We got to have you on again, man.
Fellas, pleasure's all mine. Like I said, I can't get enough of it this week. And I'd love to repay the favor. I'd love to have you guys on at some point, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Dude. Yeah, we would love to do it. Hey,
awesome. Well, we'll plan on it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Tell everybody how they can find your podcast, man.
Yeah, for sure. So you can follow me on Twitter. That's where I'm most active. It's at ZACB22, at ZachB22. And then I'm live every Monday night on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then if you miss that, you can always rewatch it on YouTube. Or the show is also in podcast form on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find them. So that's where I'm at. And you can find me, like I said, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and then Twitter is where I'm spending like 19 hours of my day. I hate to admit it.
Thanks, Zach, man. We really appreciate it. And again,
thanks, dude.
Keep in touch. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Like I said, fellas, pleasure's mine, and I look forward to repaying the favor, and I'll reach out to you guys about it soon.
All right, man.
Awesome.
Have a good night.
All right, man. Take care, guys.
Thanks again.
Bye.
All right, man.
That was Zach Bell, Z-Bot.
Yeah, good dude.
Great radio voice. by the way.
You forgot to mention that to him.
I was going to say that to him.
I was waiting for you. I almost said it, and I didn't want to steal your thunder, but yeah, he has an absolute fantastic radio
voice. It's, you really can't have a better radio voice than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and he had some good takes on the draft, man. I thought it was a really good conversation. It was awesome.
It was, yeah. And yeah. It's just it really goes good when we're able to have a guest on and get their thoughts and – you know, the draft, and it's just it's a good feeling overall to be a Bills fan right now, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I meant to mention too that to really prove how much they're actually only tweaking this team, this draft highlights that. Like, they actually went to a record setting punter because to them it's somewhat of a position of need. Not sure. That you can't find an adequate punter, but why not go for the home run.
Yeah, right? When you can get a guy like that. And he fits the bill, right? Like,
for sure.
Not only does he have an extremely strong leg to punt in our weather here in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy wants to go and hit people.
He wants to play football, man. Yeah. He's a baller.
Well, and if you don't have a lot of money to spend, getting a punter isn't too bad.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And just like Z-Bot said, you got to get rid of Matt Hack. I mean,
yeah,
he was just horrible. And
when he was bad, he was really bad.
Yeah.
When he was good, he was fine. But man, he had too many of those bad ones. Yep. So. Yeah, you can understand a poor kick or whatever, but some of them were like a disaster. You know, just like horrible.
You know, you saw stuff like Isaiah McKenzie struggling and things like that. And, you know, you don't like to see it, but, you know, if you can recover, that's fine. I didn't really see him change.
Yeah, mistakes are one thing, but just that's poor play. Maybe it's mechanics or whatever it is. It needs to be fixed, and if it can't be fixed, then it needs to be replaced.
Yeah, so good draft pick there for sure.
Yeah,
and overall, again, you know,
solid.
We got graded an A by most.
Yep, I've seen anywhere out there, A to B plus. You know, right in that range for sure.
Yep,
and like I say, it wasn't like he had to work any magic. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he had to do anything crazy. They spent the off season building a roster with Von Miller and Tim Settle and Daquan Jones. And, you know, list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And they solidified everything they needed so they could go into a draft and go, you know, yeah, we need a couple guys. No problem.
For sure. I still can't believe we have Von Miller though.
That's hard to pass. Still
really, that is a big one. Yeah.
It just hasn't really registered correctly with me.
Right.
It's just like, I know he's there. But it's like almost like a Madden game, like right. Oh, I just picked him up. Like, it's just weird. Like that he's.
Why does he have a Bills jersey on?
I know.
Well, like, he will be Kyer Elam's best friend if he gets to start, because nothing pleasures a cornerback more than pressure on a quarterback, right?
Oh God,
force him into mistakes, and in the AFC East, especially Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Tua. You've got guys that can make mistakes.
For sure.
Absolutely no doubt.
Yeah.
So he's going to come up huge.
We have, and it's funny that Josh is the eldest quarterback in our division.
At 25 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just,
yeah,
these guys are young. And the roster that we've built to cause these guys to make mistakes is, that's huge.
Yep. It's really huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine fantastic. If we had waited, you know, a couple of years like they did, you know. He's stuck in a position where they're all trying to learn up like we did back in 2019.
Right.
Yeah, and they did, again, to finish up, like, they did a great job, like I said, building in the offseason with Ryan Bates, Saffold, you know, guys on the offensive line. Okay, now we don't have to take an offensive lineman in the first round. Then you get Von Miller. We don't necessarily have to take a tackle or an edge rusher in the first round. We don't necessarily have to. We kept Matt Milano. We don't have to get a linebacker in the first round. You know,
yeah.
They spent most of their time just figuring out to make sure they didn't have to do anything.
Yeah. And cornerback was, again, it's just the most glaring need. And, you know, I had plenty of heated discussions with friends and stuff of mine that was like, how can you just want, like, I get, like, you want a running back because he can be electric.
Right.
But it's just not. It's not your need. Like, it's the glaring need is cornerback. It's right in front of your face.
If you have,
and it is what it is. Like,
it's like you said, it's that Madden mentality, right? You just want to get a star.
Yeah.
Like, how cool would it be if we could draft a running back in the first round? Like, we've never been able to do that.
Right.
And it's like, well, we don't need to do that.
Right.
If you have Zach Wilson, you want that guy. right? Because he's not going to carry the team. If you have Mac Jones, Tua, they're not going to carry, you know, put the team on their back and carry them down the field. It ain't going to happen. Josh Allen can do that.
Correct.
You know what I mean? You need an effective running game. You don't need a primary
a running game. Like a, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, we're, again, we're throwing the ball 70% of the time. Maybe right. maybe more. Maybe it'll go down to 69.3% of the time.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, I think we're going to make a point to run the ball this year, but it's not the quantity, it's the quality.
Right.
You know, we're
right.
going to have the personnel to make those runs more effective this year.
Yeah, and like Brian Daboll has done in the past, and I'm sure Ken Dorsey will probably continue on. Sometimes a short pass is as good as a run, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is. You get the ball out quick, fairly safe pass, and now a guy's got a little bit of an opening to make something happen. Singletary's definitely capable of that, and James Cook, I think, is equally as capable of making something happen with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. Just get him in the space.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, good draft, guys. I mean, I know most people out there are really happy with it.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah, it's hard. Again, it's hard not to trust what being in the staff is doing. For sure. Anything else, fellas?
I think I'm good.
Good?
I'm good here. Job.
All right. Jay, tell them how to listen to Ending the Drought.
Yeah, you can find us on social media at ETD Buffalo. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can find our podcast pretty much anywhere, primarily on anchor.fm, Apple, Spotify.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget, next week, May 12th, the schedule is coming out.
Yes.
We're going to be doing a podcast. And we're just going to kind of dig in a little bit and talk about maybe what our primetime games are going to look like, what we think they're going to look like, you know, and just talk about the schedule, you know, have some fun with it. But our podcast will be out on May 12th, the day of the schedule release. So we're really excited about that, too.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Cool. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Go Bills.